Nicky Romito, and you're listening to the Vape on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my lovely wife, Remy. We have no big announcements this week. We don't have no videos, no bee stings, no big announcements. We had two huge ones in 2 weeks, and they were awesome, but we got more coming in the future. But it is great to be with you on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, and Positively Different, 107.5 Alive. Our guest this week is Hall of Fame defensive back Aeneas Williams. Aeneas was the definition of a shutdown corner during his playing career. He's now a pastor in St. Louis. Aeneas is full of wisdom. We had a nice conversation, spoke for 30 minutes. Now we do things on Zoom, right? So I had a nice little Zoom conversation with him. He was just finishing a workout. So I think he was finishing a workout. It was pretty cool. He was like out in the woods. You can see some of the video clips.
Yeah.
We'll post those on social media. But he was one of those guys that you could just talk to and continue the conversation. And obviously we're not going to play all 30 minutes of that. I had a portion of it, a lot of football stuff that I put on the AP Pro Football Podcast. And more of the faith stuff is going to be on this show, so we cut it down for you. But he's going to talk about what he's doing now, including he hosts something called the NFL Legends Podcast. And we've talked about the NFL Legends community before and the work that they do. Troy Vincent, Tracy Perlman, and everyone at the NFL, they do a great job with it. I asked him about his thoughts on today's NFL, and he's got a very interesting response to how he thinks he would fare going against offenses that are now, it's all about the pass in the NFL. I also asked him about, he was on the greatest show on turf, Rams, and they were a heavy favorite against Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots the first time the Patriots won a Super Bowl. So he was on the opposite end of that, and I asked him about how he felt kick-starting New England's dynasty. He had some very insightful comments regarding the Patriots. Talked a lot about humility that they showed. Also talked to him about he had two pick-six interceptions on Brett Favre in a playoff game. So stay tuned for that. It was a fascinating conversation. But you and I, we're going to talk today about getting coached up. You listen to a coach? You got a life coach? You got a any kind of coaching in your life? Are you coachable? I hear a lot of sometimes criticism of certain players. He's not coachable.
I never played sports, so I never had a coach, so I cannot relate to that part. But, yeah, I let God be my coach, I guess. That's about it.
That's what we hear. Aeneas compares how quarterbacks have a headset in their helmet, and they're able to get communication from the coach on the sideline.
Right.
And he talks about how the coaches have assistants who are sometimes they're up in the booth and sometimes they're not. It depends on each team. Sometimes the coordinators are up there. Sometimes they're on the sideline with them. But they're relaying information to the coach who's relaying information to the quarterback. And you have up until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. But I love how Aeneas compares that to how we get our wisdom from God above. And he relays that information. He relays that wisdom through his word, through the Bible, and also through Jesus, who came down to earth to be one of us.
Right.
And Jesus showed us the way, how to live out our lives, the way coaches, they give quarterbacks that information. They give quarterbacks that wisdom to then dissect the defense, call the right play, audible if you want to change it at the line of scrimmage. God gives us that. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the information, and it's do as we wish with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we need to be listening to that voice. If the quarterback tunes out his coach, now he's going about it his way. He's going to win or lose on his own accord, and he's missing out on valuable information. So if we're doing life our way, if we're tuning out God, and you know we all do at times, but if we're not listening to his advice, which is all right there in the Bible, we're missing out on valuable lessons. We're missing out on valuable information that we really need to get through those ups and downs, get through those good times and bad times. See, it's all right there in God's word, in the Bible. But, and I know you love to talk about this, he also speaks to us. He speaks to us through people. He speaks to us through songs. He speaks to us through sermons. He speaks to us through various signs. You're always telling me, I saw this, I saw that.
I'm always watching.
I'm interpreting it.
I was looking.
But we need to be willing to get coached up. And there's no better coach. Forget about Vince Lombardi. They named the trophy after him. They give it to the team that wins the Super Bowl. Forget about Bill Belichick. The ultimate coach is undefeated. He's never lost the Super Bowl. He's the creator of the universe. That's right. The ultimate coach. Before I turn it over to you, I want to give a Bible verse out. James 1:5. It says, If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He's there.
Right.
He's willing to share, to give. He already shared that information.
Yeah.
But we have to be willing to seek it, don't we?
It's very true. You know, I just last week I heard a sermon, and it's so simple yet so powerful. And the title was, Did You Ask? And to me, it's like, it's so true. We go through life every single day asking ourselves, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I supposed to go this way? Am I supposed to go that way? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? But we don't pause to actually ask God what we're asking ourselves. Did we ask? And it led me to think, like, you know what? Sometimes I think I asked, but I actually didn't. Sometimes I think to myself, no, I think this is the right answer, but I didn't really ask the question. We have to ask God for guidance. We have to ask him for coaching. Sometimes we think because we're Christians, that gives us like that card of permission to think whatever we want to think. No, it's very true, because I think I have that permission sometimes. I think I have the permission to think whatever and think I'm right, which is so wrong. I'm not right. A lot of times I'm so wrong. I'm sorry.
Can you repeat
that? Yes.
Sometimes I'm wrong,
and I admit it on air. Sometimes I'm wrong. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
But it's more like
I'm wrong a lot of times.
You're wrong a lot of times. Yeah. Okay. And I'm wrong too. Sometimes I'm wrong. I didn't say all the time. Sometimes I'm wrong. And I think it's because, right? And sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I'm right. But I didn't think to ask God, hey, am I right? I didn't pause to ask the question. I just assumed because I'm Christian and I walk along with God that I am completely comfortable with just giving permission to myself to think I'm right all the time, which is not right. It's really not right. And it comes from, you have to spend some time with him to say, right now, I got to ask you these questions. And the funny thing, the answer comes as a thought, or it comes as a post on Facebook, or it comes as someone coming into your life saying something, and you're like, yep, that's it. That's the answer. And it's funny, but it's very true. If we pause and ask, and if we pause to get coaching, and if we pause to actually give permission to not be right, to be wrong, actually, we would learn a lot, and we would get the right coaching, and we would do it right.
We have to want to be coached up. We have to want to listen. We have to want to learn. As you were talking there, I didn't even have this verse written down, but it's one of my all-timers, one of my Hall of Fame verses, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways
acknowledge him,
and he will determine your path. Yeah. Lean not. How often do we lean on our own understanding?
Listen, because I do all the time.
We know.
I'm telling you, it's because we fall in a trap of like, we're Christians, we're cool, we got this, we've got enough coaching this far, therefore I have the permission to be okay. But every day you need new coaching. Every day you need new plays, right? Isn't there new plays in football?
You can't rely on back.
You
can't run the same offense two weeks in a row.
Yeah, well, in life is the same thing.
Look at you making football
now. Yo, I got this.
See, you sit there and watch a couple games.
I'm good.
And now you're ready to call out plays. But
you're right. See that?
You can't go into the two games in a row with the same game plan.
No, it's running
the same offense the same way. You can't go into life.
Your opponent would know what's coming, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, see, look at me. Look at me go. Look at me go now. now.
Our opponent,
but seriously though,
our opponent is the ultimate enemy.
Yeah,
right. He knows exactly how to tweak us.
Yeah.
To come at us, to attack us. So we need that constant coaching. We need to be in the Word consistently. Mm-hmm. Be in the Word. Read God's Word in the Bible, but also look for other ways. Listen to your pastors and their messages that they're bringing to you.
And read, right? and read for yourself.
I'm not a big reader at all. You're a very big reader.
I'll tell you why I read. Can I tell you why I read? Mm-hmm. I read because I think it's, to me, reading is like a bank. And if you're going to withdraw something, you have to deposit something. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to withdraw information from my brain, or I have to deposit something in my brain. Stuff, see, the thing is, the enemy comes in the form of thinking more than anything else. He comes in the form of thoughts. Mm-hmm. He attacks through thoughts. So the only way to defeat your own thoughts, which is the funniest thing, the only way to defeat my thoughts is by other thoughts in my head. So to do so, you have to have a bank of good thoughts. And the bank of good thoughts comes from reading the Bible, reading good books, listening to good stuff all day long. Those are the three things that I always go to.
Sometimes for me, it's songs.
And worship. Whew, worship is a weapon. Worship is an actual weapon that you can use. I use it every day. So if my kids are going crazy, I put worship on. How it is. You see the atmosphere changes right away. As soon as you put a worship song on, boom, done.
There is something about that. There's something about, you know what I'm missing these past couple weeks, which was something that I fell into consistently before football season started, and I started working 16-hour days every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It was being able to put the kids to sleep and hang out with them because we do.
Yeah, I miss that too, because I have to do that for you now, and I really miss you doing that, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And the three, because like, you know how chaotic it is, obviously, and I'm sure parents out there might understand
this, right?
It's chaotic when you're putting the kids to sleep too. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get them ready. They don't want to sleep. They're trying to prolong it. They're doing this. They want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when our routine was, they're asking for worship songs, and sometimes I'm like, I just want you to go to sleep.
Right.
But then I put them on, and they listen to whatever they choose to listen to, and it's usually the same songs. But then there's like this sense of calm that comes into that bedroom, and then this, like, I get up as they're falling asleep, and now I'm ready to go out, and like I want to get on stage and go preach, but now it's bedtime because I'm now fired up from what I've been listening to and how cool it is. But you're right, it changes the atmosphere.
It really does.
It changes the mood. I want to read another verse to you.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Revelation 3:30. And this is the Passion Translation.
Love it.
It says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me."
Right.
If your heart is open to hear my voice, and you open the door. See, I think sometimes we fall into, as you're saying, I'm a Christian, I got this.
Yeah.
No, it's not good enough. It's never good enough if we think, because at some point in our lives, we dedicated our life to Christ, became new again, and now we're good.
Because a lot of people fall into the trap of like, I committed to Christ, the salvation card. I got the card,
and I'm done.
I'm done. It's not how it works.
Life is challenging every day. And as I'm saying this, I'm preaching to myself right
now.
No,
it's true.
Because it's been a little chaotic lately. And our heart needs to be open to hear the voice. And as you're saying that and we're talking about this, I'm questioning to myself going, I think there are times where it's not until the end of the day, as I'm laying in bed getting ready to go to sleep, till I finally say, well, I need help here, or I need help here. Mm-hmm. And that's great, but I need to say that all day long, man. I need to say that not just at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I struggled with this, or I was so busy and I didn't get caught up, and I didn't get in word, or I didn't pray enough, or I didn't reach out. I didn't knock.
Right.
I got to knock. I know I have to knock some more. And for me to hear God's voice, See, when we hear his voice and invite him in, mm-hmm. as it says here, I will come in with you and feast with you, and you will feast with me. Feast isn't talking about having like a seven-course dinner. Feast.
It feels that way when you read a good book to me. I love it.
But it's talking uh-huh. about fulfillment.
Right.
And getting that peace. Right.
And I always talk about yeah.
peace, and sometimes that peace is missing.
Because we don't take the time to reflect. We don't take the time to just devour the word, which we need to do. We don't take the time to do that. Sometimes the busyness of the day just kills everything. And yeah. sometimes you're like, I don't have a minute to sit down. I don't have a minute to like just chill out and like read and calm my thoughts and just be with God. Sometimes I'm reading the word and I'm not gonna lie, I'm thinking about like what am I gonna make for dinner, because like yo, it's time to make dinner. But I'm just sitting and trying to like relax, because
shout
that's,
out to you for always making great dinners.
Thank you, appreciate that. That yeah, I mean it's hey,
I said
know.
This I said this and I said it on the Fanatic on a sports show, but I haven't said it on Faith on the Field show. There's a joke in our house whenever me or the girls, Alexi and Melina, or whenever we're acting up and you say, and I'm not going to name the particular fast food place, but you'll say, do you want to eat this for dinner? Because for us, eating that for dinner is
like a punishment.
Yeah. And we're like, no, we'll be good now because we want you to cook. So we'll calm down. But I gotta shout you out for always taking care of us with healthy home cooked meals. And
right.
You know, occasionally you'll get something. Yeah, yeah, you feel, yeah.
We eat out. Yeah, I mean, nothing, it's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, know, but in my family, it's like a punishment.
And that's how you grew up, right? That's how you grew yeah, up. Like, you always ate at home. That's how always. I grew up. Like, yeah. My parents, I don't know. My mom and dad have never been to a restaurant in their life without us. Like, if right. we didn't go with them. Like, on a date, yeah. the two of them, they it's unheard here. Of for yeah. them. Now, I think people who are
they
listening
think
to this
like
might
illogical.
Think,
like, why
weird,
would you
but,
do that?
Like, we're talking about... Middle Eastern families,
right.
You know, who this is how they do life. Yeah. So you inherited that.
I sure did.
Me and the kids are beneficiaries of yes. that because you're always making us food. Unless like, we're getting on your nerves and like, yeah, you want to eat
it.
This particular
I'm not
place.
Not cooking for you today. You're going to this
I'm talking
place.
About
to
one of the most overrated, but no, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, it's all anyway. Good. But listen, you know what? Some people love that and it's fine. It's not like I don't like it. But right. to me, yeah, I love my home-cooked meals. I love it. I enjoy it so much. I love going out to eat as well, but I'm a fancy eater. So when I go out to eat, it's like a fancy place because I basically my philosophy is, and we're so derailing right there, but my philosophy is if I cannot make it, then I'll go eat it somewhere else. Yeah. But if I can make it, it makes me feel so weird to sit down and yeah. eat someone else's food that I can make myself. I don't know. It's so backwards and
we're
so
also
weird.
So, you and I are so different.
But
with
I'm a good
because
cook, so that's why.
You love to eat, and
I love to cook. Yeah,
I just eat to live.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Can I just share with them that
I just
the other
eat
day
to get to my, you know, I just want to eat.
Y'all, I made him fish. I made him fish, and watch this. Like I made
it
was him
a
fish.
Salmon burger, man.
And I'm
it was a burger.
I always for some weird reason I love watching the three of you eat because
I don't know why you watch me.
Because I want to see your reaction. Because, see, if you're a cook, you understand this. Anybody that's out there that's a cook would understand this. Your joy from cooking comes from people eating your food. So you look at other people's reaction, and you want to see them go, this is delicious. This is awesome. And what I see my husband do, literally swallowing his food whole with a sip of water, like down in it, in his the most disgusting thing ever. And I'm going... I don't even know. I'm just a waste of a cook in this family because this is just
you
sad.
You make food, but you insist because you love fish.
Me and the kids love fish.
I had fish one time
yeah.
of any kind before I met
you. I want to tell you something.
One time.
We sacrifice.
And I made it myself.
We sacrifice every time we eat chicken breast because you love it and we eat it a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a sacrifice.
If you give me grilled chicken and vegetables, I'm happy.
But that's
every
the opposite for
day.
Us. Yeah.
You want, and I've learned to appreciate your sea bass and your red snapper or something like that, right?
The bomb diggity.
But this particular like salmon burger, I wasn't feeling it, but I wasn't going to tell you I wasn't feeling it. So I'm eating it and I'm just gulping it down.
You were down in it with water.
Three, four bites. Yeah.
That's disgusting. Wow. I hope
this point.
And as this turned into like a marriage show very quickly.
If you need wisdom, ask our generous
you
God.
You need wisdom.
And he
you
will
need
give
wisdom.
It to you.
Yeah. You need these buds too.
He will give it to you. Ask. If we would simply ask. I wanted before we get to the interview though, I mm-hmm. wanted to talk about how we see God, how he's talking to us through signs.
Oh,
right?
That's my jam.
That is. That is. And we've talked about this before, but we've got new audiences now. So talk right. about that a little bit, because for me, those signs aren't, I don't see it like you do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to see the words in print, or I hear the song, or I hear the sermon, or someone speaks to me in a message. You actually see signs, and I mean, you're talking about like animals and this and you know. Go ahead.
I think it depends on a person, and it depends on how it's kind of like if you look at a child learning. Every child learns differently, and therefore you cannot teach every child the same. Some kids learn through words. Some people learn through music. Some people learn through art. Everybody's artistic in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I'm a visual learner. So if you tell me your name, I must go write it down immediately or I will forget it, because I'm a visual I have to see it written in front of me. It's the weirdest thing. And some people, you tell them something and it sticks to their brain really quickly. And it's the way God designed us. So when you hear from God, you have to fine tune the way you listen to him and listen from him. So whatever that is, if you're a reader, he will talk to you through the pages of a book. If you if you're a writer, he probably talks to you through something else. He should talk to you through books. if you're someone that loves to, like you're a musician, he will talk to you through music. If you're whatever. So to me, I'm very artistic and I'm very visual, and I feel like I hear him in everything. I see him in, I mean, you call me crazy, but I see him in birds. I see him in animals. I see him in different things. I see him. It's not crazy. God spoke through donkeys and rams and whales and everything. It's not just, like, it's not imaginary. It's in the Bible.
You went ram there, and it had nothing to do with the L.A. Rams beating the Philadelphia Eagles last week.
No, we're talking about Abraham and the ram. But, Old Testament there. Maybe he talks through that. I don't know. But he talks through everything and anything. And I think it's all about your fine-tuning. It's kind of like you're listening to the radio.
Your willingness, though, to want to see it, to hear it, to observe it, and to seek it.
Yeah, like we're on 97.5. If you go to 97.4, you ain't going to find us. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go 97.5. You know what I mean?
And 97.9. And
97.9. So, but you have to fine-tune the way you listen to things, and you listen to God the same way. You listen to him through fine-tuning your ability to listen to him via, like, prayer and reading the Bible and doing the things that you have to do to get to the station he's talking to you through it. Because if you're going to be watching TV all day long, you know, and, you know, believe it or not, sometimes he gets people's attention through TV shows too, because, hey, if you're going to plop yourself in front of TV all day long, he's going to have to talk to you somehow. So he's going to talk to you through.
Remind me, I hid the remote from the camera.
You know what I mean? So he's going to talk to you through whatever gets your attention, but you also have to fine tune that station to get to really listen to him. But when you do, believe me, it's the most incredible thing ever, because you will see things that you've never seen before. You will hear things you've never heard before. And then he will talk to you through dreams and visions, which in my opinion is the most incredible and unique way he talks to his children, because the way he does things in prayers and in dreams are just fascinating.
You got to save that for a whole other episode. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's fascinating.
It really is. And sometimes when you tell me about that and you share those with me, it's like goosebump moments, because they're so cool.
I love dreams.
And it's incredible. You've talked about it before. We're going to save that for an entirely separate, because that could be a whole series. Forget about one episode. That could be a whole series. But up next, you're going to hear Hall of Famer Aeneas Williams. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's dairy stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show with Rob, Motti, and Remy. If you are tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every show since we launched in 2017. We have had an incredible lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime to any show at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, and iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list, you will get our episodes delivered right to your inbox. We absolutely love reading your messages, so please keep on sending them. You don't know how encouraging they really are at times, so thank you for everything. I'm going to try and remember to pick out a message every week, and this one comes from Teresa Turner, and I believe it was on Instagram, about the JT Realmuto episode. She said, absolutely love this episode. It really changed the tone of my morning while I was getting ready for work. Thank you, Teresa, for sharing that note. Really appreciate it. That's what it's all about. We just want to uplift and encourage you and remind you, you're not in this alone. God is always with you. The Lord is right there by your side, no matter what you're going through. We also appreciate if everyone would share out our episodes and tell as many people as you can about Faith on the Field. We also now have a new donate link on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com. If you love our show and you love our ministry, our goal is to put Faith on the Field Show on at least one sports radio station in every state in the U.S. We're in Pennsylvania. We're in Florida. We want to come to every state in the U.S., so please consider prayerfully supporting our mission. Also, make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. On Instagram, it's at Real Rob Motti. And Remy is at Remy Motti on all social media. We'll let you know about, we got speaking appearances at times and other events that we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages from over the summer. Our guest this week is Hall of Fame defensive back Aeneas Williams. Aeneas played cornerback for the Cardinals and Rams from 91 to 2004. He also played safety toward the end of his career, went to a Pro Bowl as a safety as well. Aeneas made 8 total Pro Bowls. He was a 3-time All-Pro, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2014. Aeneas now pastors a church in St. Louis, the Spirit Church. He also hosts the NFL Legends podcast. I had a really long conversation with him, really enjoyed that conversation about everything he's doing now, his career in the NFL, and much more. Here is part of that conversation with Aeneas Williams.
Well, Aeneas, you mentioned being a Christ follower. I know you're a pastor of the Spirit Church. But long before that, you started ministering to teammates. I believe I read the night before games in your second season in the league. That takes a lot of courage, and it's truly a calling. How did you answer that call to lead at a young age, second year in the NFL, to start doing that?
Well, first, I grew up in New Orleans. I grew up in an area called Holly Grove, Rob, same area where Lil Wayne's from. And many of the young people that may know who Birdman is, he and I went to school together. My dad's the first college graduate on both sides of the family. We're one of the few minorities to have, in the state of Louisiana, have a floral license. And my mother ran the florist. So I didn't go to Southern University to play sports or to play football. My dad knew that education would give us options, and it was one of the keys in this country to being successful and being able to change your socioeconomic status through education. So with growing up with my dad, Rob, my parents sent me and my two older brothers to church. But church never made sense. It was almost like the pastors at that time, and I don't begrudge them or have negative words, but it was like they were preaching and teaching things that didn't relate to me. And I didn't know God was real. I thought church was a place you sin 6 days and then empty your sin bucket on a seventh, and then you kind of go back out. And then around my junior year in college, I asked God, I said, God, if you're real, show me how you relate to us in everyday life. And he taught me two things. He says, He says, Aeneas, I relate to people through purpose. Everything has a purpose, and I speak to people through their hearts and guide them. So all of a sudden, a week before, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I asked God to direct my life. Then the next thing you know, Rob, he put on my heart to walk on Southern University football team a week before the season starts. They had already been going through two-a-days and three-a-day practices for months. The coach allowed me to walk on. They gave me the worst equipment. My teammates hated me. I didn't tell my parents, and I didn't tell any of my friends. And I was on pace to graduate with my accounting degree in 3 years. Going back to purpose, I only have an accounting degree to this day because I was following my brother Achilles, who's a CPA today, and a numbers guy. I really don't like numbers. Actually, part of my gifting is the ability to communicate and take complicated information and make it simple where people can apply it to their lives. So answering the call on my life to now share the gospel from the scriptures, not as religion, but with God's spirit to help people understand that the Bible was never a religious book. It was the principles and laws that God gave to humans to learn how to be successful while here on this earth. And that's what I enjoy doing. And it's kind of like an algebra teacher when they see the light come on when a student understands it. That's what I get to do. My wife, Tracy, and I are going on 28 years and our four children and this wonderful congregation, the Spirit Church, to literally help the gospel come alive where they now can know the Lord Jesus for themselves.
And you started that church in the basement. And it's grown to a bigger building and another building and another building. And finally, you got your building, your own. How have you seen your faithfulness continue to be rewarded along the way?
Well, the bottom line, I am just as hungry to hear God's voice as I was at the beginning. Because at the end of the day, the ability to hear a voice, why is it so important? And why did they fight to put the inner ear into the quarterback's ear? Well, that coach can literally have access to the quarterback's ear all the way up to a certain amount of seconds before the play start. So he can now, that coach, from a different standpoint, that coach gets information fed to him on the sideline from assistant coaches in the booth who get to see the game from a higher point of view. That's the wisdom from God. Then that coach, Jesus Christ, now relay the calls to the quarterback in the huddle. And then that quarterback now gets to diagnose the defense and put the offense and the team in the best play possible for success. So that's what I enjoy today, seeking the Lord to hear his voice and seeing the plays in life. And here's one of my greatest assets as a cornerback, Rob. I knew how to get over a bad play. And that's what the greatness about forgiveness, the greatest need that man needed was to be forgiven and to forgive others. And that's what I've experienced even more today. Not that I've not blown it, not that I've not messed it up, but I've acknowledged the play just like I would do on Mondays after a guy caught a pass on me in the game. The coach would cause me to acknowledge the play, learn from it, and then go back out on the field and correct the mistake. And that's what I enjoy today.
Well, playing that position, playing cornerback in the NFL and playing it as well as you did to ultimately end up in a Hall of Fame, like you said, you got to be able to move on from a bad play instantaneously. You played from 91 to 2004. The game has changed a lot since then. It's become a pass first offense, a lot of rule changes. How much tougher, Aeneas, do you think the game is now for the guys who play your position, who play the secondary spots?
I hear that all the time, Rob, and certainly a lot of the what we call the old school guys bemoan the changes. However, I understand principles. If we don't change when we know we need to change, voluntarily, eventually changes thrust on us and we don't get to decide the changes. Someone else does. The league had to change from the CTE concussions, so many young players hitting and using a crown of their helmet, which I never learned growing up at Harrell Park in New Orleans. The helmet and the head was never a part of the tackle. It was always to the side. So now instituting the rules where you help save players from themselves and make the game safer or as safe as it can be. Every occupation depends on the occupation, has some distasteful elements to it and some risk. What we want to do to the best we can is mitigate the opportunities to really get injured. So with the rule changes, Rob, I would flourish in today's game. They're throwing the ball more now, so there should be more interceptions. I never, on a regular basis, would grab receivers. Did I tug them from time to time? Yes. But because of the skill of the game, it's still the same game. Tackling, still studying, still route trees, still quarterback drops. It is the same game. It's just now smarter. And that's what the game is, and that's what makes me excited about the players today and how much the game has grown.
You said you're not a numbers guy. I'm going to throw one at you. 2002 NFC Divisional Playoff game, Rams versus Packers. You intercepted Brett Favre twice, returned both picks, pick sixes, to the house for touchdowns. Only ever happened one other time in the postseason in the history of the NFL. Aeneas, what do you remember about that game, and does that accomplishment stand out for you among the many in your career?
Rob, I always like to share this in such a way where anybody that's listening knows if they played a cornerback position, it's possible for them. I always get the question that people ask me, what was it like to intercept Troy Aikman when I was with the Cardinals and we made the playoffs in 1998 twice in Texas Stadium? What was it like to intercept Brett Favre in a divisional round of the playoffs two times and run back two touchdowns? I always tell them, Rob, it was just like practice. I always practice just like it was the game. So much, I have over 55 regular season interceptions, over 12 touchdowns, over 6 interceptions in the postseason. Rob, most of my interceptions came on plays where I knew the play was coming because of the study during my film study and during practice. And I never guessed, but I anticipated. So that's why I like to communicate it in such a way where people don't ever think that I'm doing something beyond what they're capable of doing if they're called to play this sport. And that's how I like to answer that question. It's just like practice.
I love that. Now, I hate to do this to you, but that year that you picked Brett Favre, guys, the Rams end up in the Super Bowl. You face off against the New England Patriots as big-time favorites in that game and end up losing Tom Brady, Bill Belichick's first Super Bowl together of 6. Could you have envisioned in the time after that game, as you reflected on what happened, what went wrong, that those two guys would end up staying together for such a long period of time, winning 6 championships, and Tom's still playing in the league right now? Could you have ever imagined that coming out of that game?
Yes, because it's the game of football, many may not know, in the United States started in the Ivy League schools. It was always an intelligent man sport. The league and the owners have done such a job where they cut the draft down to 7 rounds. It's almost impossible not to get talented guys coming out of school. Now it's who take these guys and, number one, put them in positions where you're asking them to do only what they do well. That's one of the things Bill Belichick does. Now when you get a Tom Brady drafted in the 6th round, everybody says, man, he wasn't in the 1st round. He wasn't selected. Has nothing to do with it. Has the ability to know when one of the best contemporary coaches of our time understand how to coach each and every position from an intelligence standpoint, always study, always has his players prepared. I've heard guys that have played in the league over 10 years that told me they went to New England Patriots, played under Belichick 1 year, and learn more about football in that 1 year than their whole careers. So to be surprised, before the game, I'll never forget Tom, Coach Weiss, the offensive coordinator. I saw him during the pregame warm-up, and I'll never forget, he walked by me, just not a long statement. He said, you won't see too many balls today. Well, guess what? That takes humility. It takes the one thing Tom had was humility. What does that mean? Bill Belichick puts together a game plan. Has nothing to do with egos. Has nothing to do with, Tom, I want you to throw 4 touchdowns today. Nothing to do with you're going to get Richard Seymour or any of the defensive guys. You're going to get a certain amount of sacks. No, this is the game plan in all 3 phases. What we're going to do against the high-powered St. Louis Rams at that time, we're going to stop Marshall Faulk. We're going to make Coach Martz and Kurt Warner throw the ball. We're going to hit Marshall Faulk every time, even when he doesn't have the ball. We're going to make the Rams beat us throwing the ball. Then we're going to keep the ball away from Aeneas Williams because Aeneas had 3 turnovers in the Green Bay game and a game-clinching interception against Philadelphia and had an impact on that game. So all Belichick did and Tom did, Tom handed the ball off, believe it or not, I think, in that game 41 times. Why? Our defense led the league in turnovers. So our offense also scored a lot because we gave them the ball back. So what did Belichick do? We had already played them during the regular season. We beat them, but we knew they were a good team. So even though the odds were we were two touchdown favorites, it's kind of like my dad says, Rob, it's not what people don't know that hurt them. It's what they do know that's not true. We knew this team. We didn't get fooled by the odds makers. We knew this team, if we didn't play a good game, had the potential to beat us.
I was in that stadium for the NFC Championship game, my first one I ever covered, when you picked that pass. I think it was off Freddie Mitchell's hands, or it may have been intended for Freddie. So I was there. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Look forward to listening to more of these NFL Legends podcasts. I know you got to be having a lot of fun doing those, aren't you?
I am. Rob, I wanted to say one more thing about the Legends podcast that's critical. These podcasts save lives, Rob. I can't tell you how many tears, either during the podcast or afterward, that I've shared. Wow. Because so many guys leave the game not on their own terms. Sometimes families are disrupted. Marriages are broken. And they've been playing this game all their lives. And when you leave, because of many times the door looks like it's shut, then how guys psychologically deal with it, they totally disconnect. So what I thank God for is that it was put in the heart of Troy, Tracy, and the commissioner, and the league, and the owners to put this together, the Legends community. So guys, and then when we have these, we haven't done it because of the COVID, but at the Combine, Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, we have these Legend lounges where guys are in the region. And Rob, if you could be in the room and be a fly, when you see these guys just come and see and talk to their former teammates, former opponents, see the tears and the cries that happen in those rooms, it literally helps guys get the help they need. Somebody in the room end up talking to them about the benefits that are available. Because when most guys leave the game, they think the league or the owners don't care. They don't realize they're still assets. They're just not current assets. They're called long-term assets. And those, in the health of our Legends, is for the betterment of the game, because the current generation of players always pay attention to how you treat the Legends of your game, because it tells them how they're going to be treated when they become Legends. So it's fantastic. Still, we got a whole lot of work to do, but I'm so excited to be in this generation. And thank you for this interview, Rob.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Aeneas.
That was Hall of Fame defensive back Aeneas Williams. Really loved that conversation. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenient store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Mahdi with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website. And welcome to Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Thank you. Heritage's Dairy Stores as well. Thank you. And Weather Trends 360 and California Closets. If you want to be a sponsor for our show and our ministry, please reach out to us. You can connect with us and we'll take it from there and give you a lot of information on that. We just heard a ton of wisdom from Aeneas Williams. We talked a little bit in the first segment about the coach and the quarterback's ear and how God gives us wisdom if we're only willing to be coached up. Here's something that he said that really spoke to me, because I looked at it this way for so many years. And he said, I thought church was a place you went to empty your sin bucket.
Listen, that is exactly how I thought.
I think we all have that impression
growing up,
right?
Yeah, especially when I was little. I just didn't know what was going on. I just thought, like, Sunday, you act good, you go to church, you act real good on Sundays, okay? And then
that's what it, did you guys get dressed up? Was it?
Oh yeah, you get dressed up, you look good, you go there, you act all holy, and then you come back and do it all over again.
For me, it was different. It was about making sure you dropped your envelope in the
You have
in
to
the
give.
Basket
yes,
because
you have to give. Yes.
Because we always thought they
There's
kept track of
giving,
us if
but,
we
yeah.
went, but that's. For many of us, me and classmates, like we would go and we would stand in the back and after the collection baskets, we would leave. We would duck out.
Really?
That was it. And then sometimes like the joke was, well, if you stayed, because we went to a Catholic church and the joke was, well, if you stayed and you heard the gospel then and left, then it counted as attendance. But if you did, because we also, if you didn't go, if you missed mass, if you missed church, we would have to say that in our confession. So this is all new to you, and this
I didn't grow up Catholic.
Yeah.
I grew up Protestant, but it was kind of like just.
I followed all of those rules and those traditions and all those man-made. Different kinds of what you have to do and the do's and the don'ts, right? How many times did Pastor Kyle, when he was on here, talk about the do's and the don'ts? We all think about it's do's and don'ts,
do's
but
and
it's
don'ts,
really not
yeah.
about do's and don'ts. It's not about the religion. It's about the relationship. But yeah, that's what we did. We would stand there and go, oh, okay, this counts. I'm here.
Yeah.
Now I can duck out, and we would leave. But of course, obviously, and if you heard my testimony 2 weeks ago, everything changed for me when I realized that's not what it was all about. But It was so interesting to me that Aeneas said that, because so many of us think, hey, you go to church, it's a place you empty your sin bucket, you get refreshed for the day, and then you go do your thing for 6 days a week and whatever it is, and then you come back. But he said he realized everything has a purpose.
Right.
And he realized that God speaks to people through their hearts and guides them.
And purpose, yeah.
And we all have purpose. And he talked about he got an accounting degree because he was just following his brother's footsteps. But that wasn't his purpose. And his purpose was, well, obviously he was a Hall of Fame football player.
Right.
But he's also an excellent communicator. And he said he can take complicated information and make it simple for people, which is
awesome.
How that's an incredible thing to do.
Yeah.
That's a gift. Yeah. That's a huge gift that you can use as a pastor, because let's face it, that book, that Bible, it can be complicated.
Yeah, because it's meant for you to read it with meditation. It's meant for you to read it with an open heart and mind and asking God to speak through the book. Because it's not meant to be read like that. In fact, Jesus said, I speak in parables for that reason. I speak in parables for the people that are seekers of Him. So if you are just to read a book, you would read it and understand it. But He spoke in parables for the people that want to sit there and ask themselves and ask Jesus, what do you mean by this?
Yeah.
And why do you speak in parables? Because of that. He wants a relationship with you, and He wants you to go to Him and say, what do you mean by that? What are you trying to say to me? And it's not meant to be complicated, but it's meant for the people who are trying to seek a relationship with the Lord.
Well, to me, it was always complicated until I realized, like, I want to understand.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you have to be a seeker.
And you remember when my brother, this was our year we got married, 2012. We didn't want for Christmas. I don't want anything. Oh, yeah, you got to get you something, whatever. I said, you know what? I want a Bible that I can understand.
Right.
And it's now 8 years it's been sitting with us. And this Bible's pages are worn, pages are ripped out, highlighting marks all over it. But it's the NLT study guide because it gives you the important passages and they're explained to you. Right?
Yeah.
So you read it and then you look at it and you go, what is meant here? And then you read that and you go, oh, wow. Okay.
There's explanation
I
the bottom
get it.
Too.
I'm understanding it better. I like what Aeneas said. He said, the Bible isn't a religious book. It was the principles and laws that God gave to humans to learn how to be successful here on earth. Right? As we talk about getting coached up on this episode, well, coaches give their players, and in the NFL, I think this flies under the radar, but you will be astonished by the size of the playbook, the number of plays that they have to memorize, that they have to know, like, a quarterback's going to stand at that line of scrimmage. He's going to see the defense. He's going to change the play to Red 39 Razor or Spider Y Banana, which is something John Gruden, one of his plays. Whatever this, you know, Peyton Manning would stand there, Omaha, and he changed.
Right.
Tom Brady once, one of their audible calls was he would yell out Bill Belichick's girlfriend's name, Linda, Linda. Like, it was, they do all these crazy things, and there's reasons for it.
Right.
But our playbook is the Bible.
Right.
Right? Our playbook is the Bible. Here's the principles. Here's the laws. This is what God gave us as humans to learn how to be successful while we're here on earth. Yeah. But not just to have success on earth, but for me, it's about having peace. Mm-hmm. Peace and success are so different because success is measured in so many different ways. And how often do you see very successful people? And it's unfortunate, but we've seen successful people who've committed suicide.
Absolutely.
We've seen successful people hit rock bottom because they don't have peace within their life. I'd rather have peace than success, and there ain't nothing wrong with having both. I want to have both. I want to be
successful and being peaceful.
I want to have success and peace. For me, my peace comes from understanding the word, from giving it all to God, from following the principles he gave me, the laws he gave me, and trying ultimately daily to live my life like Jesus. I fail every day. Mm-hmm. Every day I pray, I want to be more like you and less like me. Some days I get close to it, and other days I take six steps backwards.
Right, and if you are struggling out there with peace or with anything, don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah.
It's the simple ask, and you don't have to be fancy with your ask. All you have to do and just say, hey, good. Jesus, I really want to ask you for peace right now. I really want to ask you to come in and change my life. I want you to just come in and somehow change the situation around. And you will be astonished in how he will just invade every single thing to come in and rescue you. And it's pretty wonderful and pretty awesome. And I have experienced this over and over and over. And every single day I say this, every single day I say, Lord Jesus, come in and do what only you can do. Whatever it is, to come in and do what only you can do. And from there, just things flow. And it's pretty awesome. All you have to do is ask.
The biggest change in my life has been the peace that I achieved, the peace that I gained through Jesus Christ. I want to thank Aeneas Williams for being our guest this week. Really enjoyed that conversation. A big thank you to Doug Horton for the great work he does handling the business side of Faith on the Field. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does with our website and our podcast and all of that stuff. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 107.5 Alive, and 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee for airing Faith on a Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.